Grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. A beautiful morning, having a little bit of rain. It just settles the dust. And we praise God for that. Again, we have grace today. We have the mercy of God. And I pray we all have peace today. If Jesus comes into our heart, there should be peace, and I welcome the baptism candidates here this morning also. Very good to see each and every one of you, and also those that are come today to hear the Word of God and also to support the young people here. And so we today have Ascension Day, where Jesus ascended up into heaven. We recognize and maybe much of the people in today's world don't recognize Jesus' ascension as we realize that he is coming back one day. But today we still have the grace of God with us. So we want to talk about the great God, the God of heaven. We want to talk about that today before we go into the catechism, which we talk further about him. But before we go on, I would just ask that we bow our heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace today again and mercy, we ask that you would be with us here. Protect us, put a hedge around that no evil spirits can enter. And Lord, if there's anyone that is experiencing thoughts that are not pleasant, even within this building here today, we pray that you would grant them strength to remove them, and that there's no spirit that can discourage us here today, but rather that will encourage in your word, and that they can receive the love that only you can give. And so, Lord, we pray today also for these young people that have come forward to be baptized, that they have confessed that you are their Savior, their Lord. And Lord, may everyone here today that have that will have also made that confession, and if they haven't, that today they will make that decision that you will be their Savior, you will be their Lord, you will be their God. And so we ask also for the song leaders for strength to sing, to start the songs, to the piano player, for the pray for the men on my left here. Also continue to pray for each and every one front that they would be comforted, and also for others that are outside this building in Winkler, the province of Manitoba, Canada, also, Lord, the country. We pray for the governments, the people. We pray for people that are in hospitals or sick, that you would comfort them, give them strength. And also that the word of God will be mighty within them, and that they will be encouraged, Lord, that you are God and their God, and that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross so that they could have life. And Lord, we also continue to pray for Israel, Lord, that your people, as we see that they also are in great need of you, in great need of your spirit to move them. And so we pray for them as we continue to pray for all the people that are in darkness today. We ask that you be with them, that you would draw them ever closer to you so that many or all will come to the repentance of their sins. Thank you, Jesus, again for what you did on the cross to pay for our sins, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a couple of songs.
Take your red hymnal and turn to 126, Come to the Savior. 126.
Tenderly saved. once again He's with us today. Heed now His blessed commands and obey. Hear now His accents tenderly say, will you, my children, come? Joyful, joyful will the meeting be, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with Thee in our eternal home.
132. Come with thy sins to the fountain. 132.
Beautiful songs. You know, just take those songs and just listen to what they speak to us, and what a joy it is to, you know, to sing. And I like singing, and I like singing loud. But there's a lot of people, they know how to sing, but they don't put their voice forward. You know, I sometimes wonder, why not? Like, are we scared that somebody's going to hear us or what? I don't understand. But, you know, I think it's like, sing. Are you rejoicing? Do you have a thing to rejoice about? If you do, sing it. I don't know. I just find it that so often, reading the scriptures and just going to John, just a few verses here in John chapter 7, And verse 37 and 38, and it says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And then he says, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And I think singing has a big part of that. Living waters coming out. What's your heart full of? And so the Lord has saved us and has brought us to the point where we are free from our guilt and our soul. And so what's coming out? And here, when we go to Luke chapter 24, and as we are thinking of Ascension Day today, Luke 24, and I want to start at verse 44, and it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So here Jesus is speaking and saying, you know, here, these words I spake unto you. Which one of you have never heard of Jesus Christ before today? Which one? I mean, if you feel bad not to say who's the one, I'm thinking all of you have, and I'm thinking all of you have read the Bible. And I was thinking about it when we were driving here today. All of you will have heard the scripture. All of you will have been in some kind of a service that you will have heard God's word. So I'm not speaking to somebody that is new to the word of God. Even if there's children here today, they will have learned, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So it's not somebody that I'm speaking to here today, is that they don't know. And yet here Jesus says, very clearly says, you know what, this is what I speak to you about what the Old Testament said about Jesus Christ. And then he says, and then opened he their understanding, and that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer. So, Christ to suffer. And to rise from the dead the third day. Rise, being alive. You know, suffering for our sins. But yet, he paid for them, and now he's alive today. Because he's risen. He's alive. And then verse 47, he says, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, you know, these young people or these people that have come forward to be baptized, they say, you know what? We have repented. We have repented from our sins. As Jesus said, you know, and now the remission. Remission, we talk about cancer sometimes, and I probably said it before, but you know when they talk about remission, meaning it's not there. It has gone into remission, seeing that it's now become silent. It's not there no more. That's remission. So what is saying that I have repented, I have turned around. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is the preaching that should be done, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, he says. So it started at Jerusalem, but today we're not in Jerusalem. We're in Winkler. We're in Winkler, Canada. And so that is where it is today. And then he says, oh, you know, here now, you are young people, you have come forward, and you've had this. He says, now, and ye are witnesses of these things. So now we will be witnesses of that, what has happened within us. We realize our flesh is weak and it is sin. That's why I cannot enter heaven. And that is why we needed the Savior inside our soul, and which would give the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeing being alive today. Now we will be witnesses. witnesses of what? Jesus' suffering, what he did for us. That's what we are going to be witnesses of, he says. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And this is what he said before he had gone to the cross. No, sorry. He had already gone to the cross. He had already suffered. But the Holy Spirit hadn't come at this point yet. But once he would go into heaven, that's where he would then. And then he talks about his ascension here. And he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. So he lifted up his hand and he blessed the people, the disciples, and all those that were there. And he says, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So this is where Jesus was carried up into heaven. And then he says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. You know, today when we are, you know, leaving wherever, if we have heard the word of God, we should leave with great joy. With great joy. Not with saying, well, oh, you know, it's a terrible day. That's too often that's what we do. So where has it actually gone? Where's the word of God actually gone? Has it actually planted, or has it gone in, or is it just out there somewhere? I don't know. It needs to go in. And the Holy Spirit. And then these are the disciples. He says, they worshiped. They worshiped. They bent down their knees. They worshiped. And then what they did is they prayed. And then they said, and then they returned to Jerusalem with a great joy. Why would they have such great joy? Because Jesus told them the promises that was to come. I believe anyway. And he says, and we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So this is what is for us to do. And then I want to go to Acts chapter 1. And there again, it just talks a little bit about that ascension. That ascension where he... But before he ascended into heaven... In Acts chapter 1, I want to start with verse 1 and read on. And it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, have given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he gave commandment to the apostles by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit had given commandments. The one that he had chosen. Today, when I look at you now here in the front, you are chosen. You're the chosen ones now. You are now the ones that he speaks to. The Lord is speaking to. And he wants to continue also to teach us about the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of this world, but also Jesus is not talking about the kingdom of this world. I'll read a little bit further yet, and that they actually had it mixed up. They had it mixed up. And he talks about infallible. And the word infallible is incapable of error. There's no error. There can't be no error whatsoever. And any doubt, there's no error in Jesus' teaching. None. In God's teaching, there is no error whatsoever. And then further it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when we read Acts chapter 2, that's where they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it was like a tongue, and it seemed like a fire, flame of fire. So that's what he was talking about. You know, we have the water baptism, but we also have the baptism of what the Holy Spirit gives us. It gives us the power to speak his word. And then he says, in verse 6, he said, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So they were talking about this earthly kingdom, which Jesus in John chapter 18 made very clear. He says that his kingdom was not of this world, was not of this world. And he clarified that to his disciples. He says in verse 7, he says unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So it's not for his disciples to know, even to us to know. We know that there's a time coming. Jesus is returning. But he says this, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that is what really is even with you. That the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you, that you are now witnesses throughout all areas. And that's not just you, but everyone that is here today. We have a witness. We have a great duty to do as a Christian, as a Christ follower. We have a great duty, as we just read here, to be witness. Wherever we are, in whatever corner that you are in, to brighten that corner. We sing that song sometimes, to brighten the corner of where you are in. Further, he says then, in verse 9, he says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So here he was taken up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. So the very important part of this is that you will see Jesus come back one day. He will come back. Yes, there's discrepancy of how or when he's going to come back. Yes, there is. But he is coming back, as it says. Very clear. But we need to be ready. Always be ready. Every day we need to be ready, standing, waiting for him. So it's important for us to be very, very alert in all. Then I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 yet. Read a couple of verses there. Starting at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And after that, He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. But after that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And then he says, this is Paul speaking here. He says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So Paul is saying, making very clear or sure here, saying that all of these saw him, but he says he did also see him. And I think most of you probably know when he was in Acts chapter 9, when he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, Jesus met him on the way. And you know when Jesus meets people on the way or wherever he meets them, there's a change. There's a change in life. Paul has a great testimony of that change. And you know, and that's all of us here today. These young people should know the change in your lives, how you walk, the ones that are behind them, behind these young people. And you also will now need to know, show that there's a change in our lives. And so I just want to read a couple more verses here in John 14. And as a great promise, John 14, 1-3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So where Jesus is, there ye may be also. And so let us remember that. One more verse in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me, for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so that he will be with us. So with that, I want to ask whoever is able to kneel. Let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Into 345, for those that are able, let's stand.
Reinforcements now appearing, vendors.
song. The Lord is coming. But hold the fort. Just a couple of verses before we start at the catechism here is John chapter 8. And there's three verses I want to read here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so, it's so important for us to realize that, as he says already, you know, those that believe, and he talks about Jews, but here's the same to us, if we continue in his word, then we are his disciples indeed. And the truth, we realize if we come up with the truth and we live the truth, we have the truth, it makes us free. It makes us free. And so now we want to go over to the catechism, and we start at page 73. And if I could ask you candidates to stand for a moment here. And we're going to start with domestic life of the Christian. Who instituted marriage?
The Lord God himself with Adam and Eve in paradise.
What persons may unite in marriage?
Those who are not too nearly related to each other and who are of the same faith.
May married person be divorced?
No, they shall not be divorced. Christ said, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.
How should married persons conduct themselves toward each other?
The husbands shall love their wives even as they love themselves, and the wives shall reverence their husbands.
What are parents to do for their children?
They are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
How are children to behave toward their parents?
They are to obey their parents in all things, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
What have men servants and maid servants to observe toward their superiors?
That they in all things obey their earthly masters, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, then they shall receive of the Lord the reward of the inheritance.
How are superiors to treat their domestics?
They shall forbear threatening, knowing that their master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Church discipline, when a brother or a sister in the church has been overtaken in a fault, how are they to be dealt with?
They are to be admonished and restored again in the spirit of meekness.
But if the offender will not hear?
Then shall two or three admonish him a second time.
But if he neglects to hear them or lives in gross sin, what should be done with such a person?
He must be excommunicated from the church, and we are to have nothing to do with him, so that they may be ashamed.
But if he repents of his sins?
Then it is sufficient that he was punished by many. So now you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him.
Then we go to prayer. By what true means do we obtain all things from God?
By prayer, ask and it shall be given unto you.
Should we use many words in prayer?
No, we must not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for our Father in heaven knoweth what things we have need of before we ask him.
How are we to call upon God the Father?
In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
After what manner did Jesus teach us to pray?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Does God at all times hear our prayer?
This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Still, he sometimes delays to grant our petitions in order to test our faith.
Are we also to call upon the Lord Jesus?
Yes, they all shall honor the Son as they honor the Father and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
How shall we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus?
As the mediator between God and man, who gave himself a ransom for all.
What should we bear in mind in prayer?
Thanksgiving, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Knowing and doing, is it necessary that we should know what is good?
Yes, but knowledge without love puffeth up.
In what spirit should we receive all knowledge?
We should be humble and unassuming, for if a man thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
What benefit do we derive from knowledge?
It may teach us how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God.
Does mere knowledge then not suffice?
No, we must also be discerned of the word.
What is the duty of Christians in all they do in word and deed?
All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even do so do to them.
Could I get you to do the other part yet?
Sorry. Which one? Okay. And whatsoever, well, I already did that one, right?
Oh, you have to do this one.
Oh yeah, whatsoever do in the word of deed, so all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
What should we say when we have done all things?
We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
Okay, I will get you to sit down a little bit. Just go back a little bit, and we're talking about domestic life here of the Christian, and how we ought to live our lives as Christians. And here it talks about marriage. Who instituted it? It was God, right at the beginning, Adam and Eve. And then he says, who are to be married? Those not too closely related, not in blood relation, but having the same faith. That is very important, that we have the same faith. And then it talks about, you know, are people, you know, to be a couple to be divorced or no? Our Bible very clearly states they are not to be. That's called adultery. That's breaking a covenant that we made. And that's why Jesus made it very clear, and also other part of the scripture, I believe is James, talks about it, says, yes is yes, and no is no. I realize that, you know, some people, they have a question and say, should I go back to? And I know we had this not that long ago. We had a question by a lady and asked if she should go back to her husband. And then, well, first of all, we wanted to know in what faith she was in. And she said, no, I believe in Jesus. I'm born again. Okay. Does this husband beat you? No. Does he sometimes, or does he maybe with words? Sometimes. And then we asked her, so what did you say at the altar? She said, yes. I said, well, then there's no other question than you have your answer. You say yes, and that means yes. And so here, when you say you marry, that's no part, no divorce. That's exactly what the Bible says. That means lifetime. But then it also says, how should they treat each other? husbands should love their wives. And that means love of God, agape love, the highest love there is. That's what it should be. But wives should also reverence their husbands. So it's very clearly stated. And then it says, bring up your children in a way the Lord would want it. And then it says how children should be towards their parents. It says, honor them. Honor them. That's what God said. That does not mean that when you leave home that you will always do the same as parents will. But that means one thing. You respect them to the highest. You do. You respect God and you respect the parents. And same goes with when you work. It's not with just when the boss is around you work well, but you do when God is around, and he's around all the time. So that's, we fear God. That's why we do. And so should also be the bosses should be the same. Should also treat their employees well. And then it talks about church discipline. And, you know, sometimes we wonder why would it need to be church discipline? Well, if you have absolutely no discipline whatsoever, then there would be chaos within the church, and there should be not chaos. But when people do wrong, we should always be very careful how we do it, as it says here. Restore, again, in the spirit of meekness. That's how we should admonish them. And then, but if they don't listen, he says, well, then you should, two or three should go. Admonish them. And if they still don't listen, then the church should know that, should go to the church. And then if they don't listen, then excommunication happens. And this is also something that we don't really want to do, but it does happen. And that is a form of discipline in order that they will come back. It's not to punish, but it's to try to make it better. And once they repent, then you forgive them and you take them back and love them with the love of God. Prayer, as it talks about here, it says, you know, how do we obtain anything from God? By prayer. Realizing that we don't have to pray with many words because God already knows what your heart is and what you are looking for. But he wants you to ask, just like people want you to ask you or us. And so God wants us to ask him. And then also that knee, bending the knee to Jesus Christ is also something that we should do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then it talks about the Lord's Prayer. Most of you learned it. We talk about our Father. And so you have personalized this God as being your Father. And also further, it talks about asking, or, you know, we have confidence in our God. We should always have confidence, but sometimes it may take a little while. And he is also, as this one says, it's testing our faith, seeing where we will be, if we will actually hold on. Jesus is our mediator. And so we go to Jesus, to the Father, and one thing, don't forget to give a thank you. As soon as you prayed, say thank you. It's very important. When we ask in prayer, we should always say thank you. Just like the parents or even others say, you know, watch when you give you something, you say thank you. And then it talks about knowing and doing. And to me, the biggest thing is when we have a lot of knowledge, but that knowledge helps us nothing. You can read the Bible, all of it. You can know all of it. But without love, it puffeth up. So when you know to do something and you don't do it, it's sin. But when we know to do good, we should do it so that we are doers of the word, not just knowing of the word. And then further it says about Christian duty of, what is a Christian duty? And then it says, whatever we do, whatever, all things, whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even to them. So you want a friend, you have to be one. You have to be a friend. If you want him to do good to you, you need to do good. Even though if they do you bad, you still need to do good. And then, giving the Lord again, giving thank you to him. And if we have done all things, we're still unprofitable servants. As it says, we are unprofitable servants. We have done only what our duty is to do. So we have a duty, and even if we have done all things, we don't expect that people will come and just say, very good job. It's good when people encourage you that way, but you may not get it. But you say, well, I still have done it for the Lord. And that's what our duty is to do, all of us. Would ask you to stand again. Chapter 5. Future destiny of man. What is the end of this natural life?
The end of life is death.
Must all men die?
Yes, it is appointed unto men once to die.
Does the soul die with the body?
No, the soul is immortal, which no man is able to kill.
What becomes of the soul after death?
This is shown in the story of the rich man and Lazarus.
Will there be any in the last day that will not die?
Yes, but they shall be changed in the state of incorruption.
The resurrection of the dead. Will the dead rise again?
Yes, there will be a future resurrection of the just and the unjust.
When will the dead rise?
On the last day, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptibly.
Who will raise up the dead?
God shall raise up the dead by Jesus Christ.
Judgment. What will follow the raising up of the dead?
There will be a day in which God will judge the world in righteousness. Then we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Who will then be the judge?
Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
How will this take place?
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
Will there be respect of persons?
With him there is no respect of persons, for he will render to every man according to his deeds.
Will men be judged only according to their works?
Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Will the hidden thoughts be judged too?
The Lord will bring light to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and thus judge the hidden things of man.
In what manner will sentence be pronounced?
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on their left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Rewards and punishments. What shall be the final reward of the faithful?
They shall enter eternal life, free from all sin. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
What will be the fate of the ungodly?
They shall be punished with everlasting banishment from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
What lesson have we to, in conclusion, to learn from all this?
We should learn from all this that heaven and earth shall pass away in a time and hour unknown to man, and that the Lord will then appear in judgment to give to every man according to his works. Therefore, we should always watch and be ready, lest the day of judgment come upon us unawares, and always be ready to meet the Lord with joy and to remain with him unto all eternity. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. It's so good to, clear answers and also being part of the message here today. And so thank you. And when it talks about the future destiny of man, we all know that we will die. Our body will die. It is appointed for us once to die. But the soul will not die with the body. The soul, man cannot kill. And so further also, when it talks about the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we sometimes think, well, it's the riches that made Lazarus, or that rich man, that he was not getting into heaven. But that wasn't so. He didn't accept Jesus. He didn't accept God's way. And so it was not because of that. He was rich, and I believe not just in food or in material, but he was also rich in word. He had the word. Because Lazarus, he picked up all these little crumbs, and the crumbs was the word of God, and he accepted that. He accepted that he would have been a sinner, that he had to repent from his sins. He would have accepted that. That's why he was there. It wasn't because he was poor that he got into heaven. Sometimes people think that way. But that wasn't the reason. Yeah, he became poor, meaning that, you know, he accepted Jesus and that he himself died. He died. And so the rich man had not a good place to go, which was hell, eternal fire. And Lazarus had heaven. And so, and also there will be a change. The Lord Jesus will come back sometime, and then not all will have died, and yet the bodies will not go to heaven. They will not. And then it talks about the resurrection of the dead. Yes, there will be a resurrection, both just and unjust. It'll be when the trumpet sounds. We can read that in a couple of different places. First Corinthians 15, 52 and 53. Trumpet sound, he also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Although I won't read it. You can read it for yourself. And God will raise them. And then there will be also a judgment day. The time when God will call, when we will all, in the last day, when there will be a judgment day, and he will separate them. He will separate them. And so we got to be very aware of that, that there is a time coming where he will set one on the left and the other on the right. And so we have to also remember that he has no respect to person. It doesn't matter if it's a minister. It does not matter if it's a king. It does not matter if it's a president. He has no respect to person. He doesn't matter if it's a very poor person. The judgment is about what they have done. If they have accepted Jesus Christ, if they have repented from their sins, that is what it is. But it also mentions that idle words, and this is one thing that we can be very aware of, or what we speak. Be careful what we speak. or how we speak. Because every idle word it talks about, and we realize when we repent from those idle words, then they are under the blood, they're taken care of, but we should always be very careful how we speak, any of us. And also our thought line. There's many people, they will go with their dark lines of thought lines, they will go even into the grave. And if you have today, if anybody here is today that have a dark thought line or something in your heart that is dark, get it removed from the Lord. Share it with the Lord. Or share it with someone that can help you, that you can pray about it and remove it. It's very important that you don't go into the grave with those lines, the thought line. And then at the end he says here, those that have are on the right hand of the king, then he says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. So this was already, from the foundation of the world was prepared. As Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. But he says also on those on the left hand, he says, curse it into everlasting, depart from me, he says. And we really don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear the reward, as it says, to come. And then he says how great it's going to be, that there's no more, any hurts are going to be there, no more sickness, no more crying. There's going to be, God is going to be there all the way for you, whoever is going to be in heaven. But the punishment will be, you will then never see God again. You'll never see light again, but forever be in that hellfire in the lake there. And I believe the last one when it talks about, be ready. Be ready. When the Lord comes, be ready. And I just want to, a few things I want to mention here yet before I close off here. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33. And this is for all of us, but especially for you that are in front here. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't ever think that if you hang around with evil communications or if surrounding you and you take part of that, that it will not corrupt you. Make very sure that if you find yourself that you're not in that, that you're not in that. John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So always make sure you know Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And when I think about that, when we have a hole in our heart and we have a need of something, then too often we grab onto the things that are in this world. But here he said, if you fill that hole, you fill that heart, you fill that soul with him, the bread of life, and the life, or the water, the Holy Spirit, you won't have a need of all these things beside you. You won't have such need of these things that are, and what we were talking about, these evil things that we grab onto because we have filled it. We have filled it. He says, you will not ever hunger and never ever thirst. You won't have that need of those things. And then he says in verse 36, and I said unto you that ye also have seen me, that ye also have seen me and believe not. There were some people that actually seen Jesus that did not believe. So when you are full of Jesus, you will, via the Holy Spirit, you will not need the things that just said. Like, as Psalms 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have need of nothing else but the Lord." That is our whole prayer, that our Lord is our is the whole wholeness in us. So my encouragement to you here, and also to all the congregation here today, is read the Word of God every day. Sometimes even twice a day. Not saying, well, I can now leave it out for a certain time. No, read the Word of God every day. Pray every day. As we always mention here, or at the end, is saying, you know, if morning or evening, if need be, day and night. So do all the time. Praying is very important. Do not let that go by the wayside. It's very easy done. I'm older already, and I know what that means. It's very easy done. Keep no secrets from God the Father. Keep no secrets, none. Make sure you choose your friends wisely. Your friends wisely. When you quit some things, you may not have certain of those people that will be around you. I want to be very certain. You will not have them. Music is a huge influence in our lives. Again, make sure that you know what you're listening to and that what it does to you, that it does not distract you from God and bring you away. What happens to you when you eat poison? It's either or sick, you'll get sick, or you'll die. And that's the same thing what happens when we use these things. Be careful, be very careful what you put in front of your eyes. Be very careful what you put in front of your eyes, all of us. Very, very important. And then let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, not Hollywood. Not Hollywood. We have much of Hollywood being teaching us. And I'm saying Hollywood, there's many other things teachers are out there. Now I want to go to the last passage here. I want to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and on. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know there are many Antichrists, many that don't believe in Christ. They're Antichrists, and that's what I told you already about the teaching. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the Holy One, and ye know all things. Unction is an anointing. Ye have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Or it's a question mark, that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. But let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and that ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, but may this word become very alive in us. The Lord, that we are anointed by you, and Lord, that we'll count this anointing very precious, that we will continue in the word, that we will continue in the word, that we'll continue in the truth, and that we will not let it go by the wayside. Then, Lord, we know there's much things out there that want our time. There's many people that want our time. But Lord, help us that we never forget that time with you is number one. That we have a relationship with you, and with that relationship we need to take time. Jesus, when it was too busy, you went up in the mountain to pray. May we all realize what we need to do. Then once we get too busy, we know, Lord, then we lose all strength. Then we lose all joy. And then we are very easy targets. Help us, Lord, all not to do that, but rather spend much time with you and in you. So, Father, again, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your love as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have to only pray here. We can pray anywhere, morning or evening, if need be, day and night. So anyone else, whatever you have on your heart, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Take our blue book and turn to number 177. God be with you. 177.
God be Thank you, Brother Jake, for the message. It was very encouraging. And thank you for baptism candidates for coming forward again. Just a quick reminder, men's breakfast is coming this Saturday at Meadows Grill. So all men, you can even bring your sons. So it's a men's, and if you have a son to bring, bring your son as well. And it's by donation. And I should also mention it starts at 9 a.m. And just another announcement, it's not in the bulletin. Our youth are planning to do a car wash. That is coming, I guess, next Saturday, May 27th. And it starts at 9:30. Thank you.
Thank you. As of today, I don't have any more that I want to bring you, except I want to thank you for all for coming. Thank you for the song leaders and also for the prayers on the, you know, the men on the left here. Thank you so much. And the player, piano player, thank you. And also the sound man back there, thank you so much. And all of you that are come and made that decision to come today. So, and I pray that you will have a great day. So I just want to bless you yet with a benediction. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.